fun yet? Isn't that amazing? We got a trombone, a trumpet, a saxophone, a harmonica, a banjo, and really cool people up on this platform. I think we're pretty blessed, aren't we? They can't see us, but they can hear us. So thanks for joining me and celebrating our friends and their gifts. But man, what a great series this has been. For me personally, it's been really inspiring, and I've learned a lot. And I've begun to take some even clumsy steps of putting it into practice. I'm so grateful for Joel and Dave and Sammy and Josh and what they've brought. And I get the opportunity to kind of bring it to a close here. And I want to say this before I begin. I really believe that the next 27 minutes that you and I have together are nowhere near as important as the next 24 hours of our life. Because what we want to do today is really center in and remember God's calling of us and move from intention into action, fully engaged, devoted into what we have. Because I believe that out there, outside these doors, there's an invitation that from God that awaits you. And there's an invitation from God that awaits me to bless people with the love of Jesus Christ. And we get the opportunity to choose as we step into that. And so today really is decision day. Are we in or are we out? Will we do this with God's help, or perhaps will we not? And I want to start with a question. And if you've not taken out your teaching notes, I want to invite you to do so and take some notes if you would find that helpful here this morning. And the question is this: what's God's favorite word? Well, I don't know. I just want to ask the question. I think it's helpful for us to play with that a little bit, because I think my guess is that at least a couple of God's favorite words reside in Genesis chapter 12. This has been the undergirding for the whole series. I want to read this for us here this morning. It's printed in your program as well as it'll be on the screens in just a second. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him. As we read this, we hear a couple commands. The first that we hear is go. God says it to Abraham. He says it to his followers. Jesus says it to his disciples. And then it echoes throughout the ages to us in the scriptures. This is the summary of where God calls us to go. He says, go from your country. Go to the lost sheep. Leave the 99 that have been found and go to the one that is lost. Go to the street corners, to the alleys of this town, and invite anyone that you can find. Go to all nations, make disciples, and bless. Go into all the world and share the good news. Go here, go there, and go everywhere. And by the way, as you step, every one of those steps, I'm right there with you. That's God's call to us. So go. Step out and trust in me and do something maybe that you've never done before to be a blessing. The second command that we see in that text is bless. God said it to Abraham. He said, "I will bless you and your descendants. You'll become a mighty nation. And every person on this earth will be blessed through you." And it's the same thing that we live in. Who do we bless? Anyone. Where do we bless? Here, there, and everywhere. So what does it mean to bless? I'm grateful for the words of Dallas Willard, who says once that to bless is to project good into the life of another person. Love that simple definition. To project good into the life of another. That's what it means to bless. To go into the lives of people who God has placed in our path and project goodness, to project life, to project our presence, to add love. That's a great general definition of what it means to be blessed. And as we've talked about throughout this series, I think that there is no greater good that we can project into the life of another person than to help them to come back to God. Amen? And that's our calling here. So if I were to guess, I would put some stock in two of God's favorite words being go and bless. And the reason why is because that is God's mission. And God gave his mission a people. It started with Abraham. It was fulfilled in Jesus, and then it echoes on to us. He gave those people, the church, followers of Jesus, a grand opportunity to go and bless people and call them back to him. It was fulfilled in Jesus. Then Jesus said to Peter. Jesus said to James. Jesus said to John. And then he says today to you and 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 to me, go bless. I'm with you. It's the mission of every follower of Jesus, and it's the mission of every church. It's the mission of every community that calls on his name. And I think in a very cool and unique way, it is even a little bit more for us here at Westwood than that. It's become our spoken DNA. Genesis 12, blessed to be a blessing, is our heart. It's our linguistic epicenter. It's the blood that courses through our veins. It's everything to us here. We exist because God's mission first existed. He gave his mission a people, and now it's our opportunity to be on mission with God. Genesis 12 is really the basis for everything that we do here at Westwood, and we're real serious about it around here. A couple examples for you. We have a cafe that was constructed in the new building as we finished it in April, and we're working on some things, and we're going to open up at a whole other level here in a few weeks on September 7th. And you might not know this, but that cafe has a name. It's not just the cafe. The cafe is Cafe 12-2. Now, we didn't do that to be cute with numbers. We didn't do that to try to confuse you with a well-known highway in our community. We did that so that every time I or every time you go and get a cup of coffee, a bottle of juice, a smoothie, a scone, whatever might be there, that you and I will be reminded that we are blessed to be a blessing, and it's not an accident. God has given us a great opportunity. We even have a company that provides us with coffee that we brew there called City Kid Java. And City Kid Java exists so that money will be given to programs to reach youth that are disadvantaged and challenged in the Minneapolis area. We give. We're blessed to be a blessing, and in everything that surrounds that cafe, that's what we want it to be about. We also have in our vision an open hands vision. You might even have a picture of hands that you've seen displayed on the website or in our messages on the screen. It's not just a creative word picture. It's not just a really fun collection of words that has become our vision. It's what we are about. So that every time that we physically open our hands, whether we're in this room or whether we're out in the community, wherever we may be, that we'll be reminded that God wants to give us a lot because we are blessed. But it doesn't just stop there. It's turned around to every person that we can reach to be a blessing. We are blessed for the purpose of blessing every single person that we come into contact with. This is not just a nice addendum to the lifestyle of the follower of Jesus that we can live in when it's convenient. This is our lifestyle. We are blessed by God to be a blessing. It's at the core of how we've been made. So, do you want to grow deeper in your faith? Go bless. Do you want to experience more joy in your life? Go bless. Do you want to trust God in a stronger way than perhaps you do this morning? Go and bless. Do you want to overcome some challenges in your life? Maybe have them reframed in your world? Go and bless. Do you want to be reminded of what's most important? Go and bless. And like me, do you need to be reminded more often than you're ready and willing to admit that you're not the center of attention? Go and bless. And watch what God will do in and through you. Your mission, my mission, our mission is God's mission, and it's not optional. We are blessed to be a blessing. You and I are living expressions of the gospel, the euangelion, the good news of Jesus Christ, that in him we can come back to God for now and all eternity. So, let's go. Let's do this thing. Let's bless. What we're talking about over these 8 weeks is really a way in which all of us can do evangelism. You may have heard that word before, but what that word means is simply sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been candid throughout this series, and I'll be candid here again. For every one of us who's in this room, I think this is a hard thing to do. To put words to the faith that we have for those people in our lives who might not yet believe in Jesus, that's hard. And in the midst of it is a ton of fear, and sometimes fear wins more often than it should. I think there are many things that contribute to that fear. Maybe perhaps for some of us, We might be in a place of comparing ourselves to other people who do this thing really well. They're tactful. They're grace-filled in their words. Their words are perfect. And they have great success. People come to faith because of their examples, and we hear their stories a lot. Comparison against those people forgets what God has called us to. Or perhaps like me in my history, or maybe you in your history, you've seen people do this in a way that's kind of offensive and off-putting. It actually turns into more like vandalism than evangelism. And what happens as a result of our fear and the things that contribute to our fear is we become way more clear on what we don't want to do than what we should be doing. We lose sight of what we can do and what we must do. So we don't share, perhaps, maybe we don't relate. Maybe people don't know what we believe, and we hide our little light, not letting it shine. And so we need clarity on how to share our faith. And over the last 8 weeks, I really believe that this is something that every one of us can live in and do like we've never done it before. We're moving from a mentality that says, I can't do that, to I can do that. I can do that actually every single day. And we're moving from a mentality that says, I won't do that, to I must. I am passionately compelled to help the people in my world that I can reach to come back to God. And you know what? It actually kind of sounds like fun. This whole phrase, to help bring people back to God, is rooted in something that the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want to read that for us here this morning. He writes, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself, who brought us back to him through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them." Isn't that good news? "And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." So what this is telling us is that every average, ordinary little boy, little girl, grown man, and grown woman that is all filled with complexities, gets it right, gets it wrong, and just does life in a way that sometimes works and shows Jesus Christ and other times might not, we are the means through which God accomplished this. And it is absolutely fascinating and amazing that he gives us that invitation. And we can step into it every time. So if you are a follower of Jesus that is wondering what your default action can be when it comes to sharing your faith and becoming a blessing, here it is. Go and bless. Go bless. Even though you don't have it all figured out, go bless and watch what God will do as you do. Step out in radical faith and trust in something that you didn't know that you were capable of doing. As we go, I think it's really important for us to remember who is God when we bless, when we do our best job to help bring people back to God. A couple things I want to share with you. First of all is this: God is already there. And I worked for a couple summers in my college years with a short-term mission organization that's based here locally. And I was in the rural areas of West Virginia, a place of the country that I always have just had such a great love for since that time. And we would work with high school students. High school students from churches like ours would come from all over the country, and about 60, 70 kids would be there. And we were part of the staff that helped facilitate that. And I remember one group coming, and they had this little mantra with them. And their mantra was, "We are bringing Jesus to West Virginia." And I said, "No, you're not. Jesus is already here. If Jesus isn't already here, take your t-shirts, stop at Six Flags, turn back around and go back home, and stop at Dairy Queen on the way back. Because if Jesus isn't here already, we're all sunk, by the way. God is already there. We're meeting God in what he's already doing," which, by the way, you and I have no idea what God is already doing in the lives of people that we are attempting and seeking to reach with his love. Distance from God in the life of a person who you love and care for does not imply a lack of interest in him. People are interested in our day and age, very fascinated with spiritual conversations, and I would say that they're interested in knowing about God, and they need us. They need people who, to the best of their ability, getting it right sometimes, getting it wrong other times, share and bless and love and help people to come back to him. We are not responsible for saving people. That's God's job. We just get to join him on that adventure. He's already there. Secondly, I think he's cheering us on. I think God is cheering us on way more than we want to believe. And I think God takes a great amount of joy and pride in us when we step out. I've been reminded of this in real tangible ways through being a parent. We have two kids in our home, young kids, and we're in a small group with four other couples. Some of them have kids, some of them don't. And my friend Ellen told a story this last Wednesday night that just fascinated me. She and her husband, Lauren, live in Chaska. They have two kids. One of them, they have a daughter named Grace, who's 2 years old. And Ellen has begun to invite Grace to help her to make dinner. Have you ever made food with a two-year-old? That's rowdy. It's a very imperfect process. But what Ellen does is she gives Grace all the ingredients and she coaches Grace on exactly what to do and she watches and corrects her steps as things are flying all over the kitchen. And then when Lauren comes home and they have dinner together, the things that Grace says is, "Daddy, I made that." And there's this great pride that wells up from within her because she's doing something that she never did before. You know, want to know who's more proud though? Lauren and Ellen, her parents, because they're watching something happen that's absolutely thrilling. Someone who doesn't know exactly what it will look like, but stepping into something that they've never done before and doing it. I believe that that's God's heart for us. When we step out, he's given us all the ingredients. He's even promised us his presence to give us wisdom, to give us words, to give us thoughts. And God is there. We get to step in. And you know what? When we do, I think he stands up and cheers. And I think he's honored. And I think he's filled with a great amount of pride because we step into that. God meets us in it and he cheers. And I really believe that if we knew that more, we would probably be way more prone to step into hard things. God's with us and it honors him. It brings him great joy when we tell other people about the fact that we love him and that we've staked our lives in him. So what's the plan? This is something that everyone can do. And we can say, I can do that. I want to run you through this acrostic that we've been using for the last 8 weeks so that we can all just be reminded and get really clear about what we're going to step into in the next few hours. A couple things that I want to say first. This is not something that we are going to put on the shelf after we are done with this series, to live in our archives of a really great 8 weeks that we had together. This is going to be something that we place at the very center of our missional heartbeat here. If you want to know what it looks like to be a missional follower of Jesus relating to people, I really believe that this is it. And I think this is going to ignite our community. And so one of the things that we want to make available to you and we want you to take home today is this booklet. This booklet is right by the doors as you exit the worship center. They're in baskets. And this booklet walks you through everything that we've talked through over the last 8 weeks. And it gives you really good ideas and tips on how to live this out in really practical, normal ways that will fit who God has made you to be. Then secondly, what I want to say is let's together move from intention to action. The world has never changed in human history because people had really good intentions. The world changes when people have been filled with really good intentions and translate that to the best of their ability into really great action. And so in the next 24 hours, I hope and I pray that you in some sort of a tangible way will live this out. So the B. The B stands for begin with prayer. It's the basis for everything that we do. It's our starting line. It's something that you can do even in the hours, in the moments that we share here right now. And what we're invited to do is to pray for specific people in our lives who may not yet believe in God by name for specific needs with a very specific intention within our hearts. We say, God, use me to bless, fill in the blank today in whatever way that I can. Would you bless them in a lot of other ways too? You know, as I got ready for this, knowing that that I am my first audience, I recognized, and it was a little hard for me to do this, but I recognized that, you know what, I wasn't doing this in the way that I feel like God has prompted me to do it. And so what I did is I took a note card out of my work bag and I wrote down four names representing four people in my life that I think that God can use me to reach and help them to come back to God. And I began to pray with greater intention in the last 6 days than I ever have before. And you want to know what changed? Me. I interacted with one of those folks this past week, and there was something so radically different about me in that moment. They don't know that I'm doing this, but I listened differently. I was way more present, and I had the sense of anticipation that said, God, what are you doing? Let me join you. I want to join you in this in some sort of a way that goes beyond my ability to do so. So today, write down names, maybe even right now in your sermon notes. There might be people in your life that God has placed you specifically and intentionally that you might be able to aid them in coming back to God. And oh, what an experience that will be. And that may be even for you right now. One of the other things that I want to say about this, start with and focus and center on God using you and them coming back to God, but don't stop there. Pray for them in many, many different ways, that God would bless them with wisdom. Perhaps God would bless them financially. God would bless them in their relationships, in their marriages, in their families, if their parents, bless them with wisdom to parent. All sorts of ways, not just for their salvation, because what we will do, friends, when we do that is we will guard our hearts from allowing those people whom God loves becoming projects. People are not projects. People are people that God loves and cherishes, that he allows us the opportunity to be a part of. So pray for them regularly with intention and start today. Every one of us can do that in the next 24 hours. L is listen. We're called to listen to people, and we've been called to listen to places too, because places and culture tell us a lot about the people that we want to reach. And one of the questions that I want to ask here this morning is, as you have listened, maybe you've done that in the last 8 weeks, or as you do listen, are you fighting against creating judgments in your mind about people or what they believe? As ordinary, average human beings, you and I are prone to evaluate. We're prone to compare ourselves against others. We're prone to judge people because it's human. But we're not supposed to stay there. We're supposed to fight against that. And if we do that, it will impede our listening. So are you fighting against that? It will allow us, in a way that we've never done so, void of judgment, to see people the way that God does. There's this fascinating experience in the Gospels when this guy runs up to Jesus and he says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now remember, Jesus is the Son of God, fully human, knowing the hearts and the needs of people before they even ask or put words to it. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? As if he didn't know. I just find that so fun and fascinating that he did that. What he was doing there masterfully, it was setting up a question for that person to be able to speak from their heart what their desperate need was, and then also to be listened to. And through Jesus' listening, he affirmed his value and his worth to him. And when we do that, when we listen, regardless of whatever someone believes or what their lives might be like, we affirm them and we meet a central need that they all have, which is to be loved and cared for and blessed along the way. You might need questions if you're going to listen. You might need to ask things like, tell me about your childhood and growing up and what your family was like. Did you ever go to church? Or you might even, when the context is right, need to ask them, you know, what do you believe? What are the things that you hold true to? How will you listen this week, my friends? How will we do that together? The E is eat together. It's my favorite, without a doubt. And I trust that there's people in this room that join me in that favorite. I like to eat. That's the first reason why it's my favorite. But secondly, everyone eats, right? It's common to every single human being on this planet. Now, if I had my way, the acronym would be BLGSS, and that stands for B-L-G-S-S, and the G is golf together. But not everybody golfs. Everybody eats, and we can all eat. You could eat after your round of golf if you choose to do that. Eating together, the reality here is when we eat together, we cross a line, perhaps, with people who we know in our acquaintances into something way more deep. If you go home today and you, as you should, wave to your neighbor and smile and you know them as an acquaintance, maybe you have brought your garbage cans out together and said, hey, good to bring the garbage out with you. When you say, you know what? I just want to get to know you and your family. Would you come over to our house on our deck? We're going to grill tonight. grill tonight and do it, some of you, and invite them. You're going to cross a line between being an acquaintance into something much more deep, and you will open up opportunity there that never existed to just be in life together with other people as you listen. Keep it simple. In this booklet are great simple ideas. Is there anyone in this room this morning that's prone to making meals more complicated than we need to? Anybody honest? I see a couple hands. Thanks for your honesty. You know, sometimes that's needed. Sometimes it's really good to prepare well, to put the fine stuff out, to organize food, to give it dressings, whatever it might be. But sometimes that creates a level of stress in our homes that keeps us prevented from being present to people. So this week, if you're prone to make it more complicated than you should, invite somebody to come over, order pizza, get a green leafy salad, get some salad dressing, fill some glasses with water. And for some of you in the room this morning, I dare you to eat directly out of the Domino's box. You'll be present to people. And one more thing about eating together. I, in my life, have recognized that I'm very far, way too prone to say, you know what, we should really get together sometime. And I never do it. Why do we do that? If you're like me in that, I trust I'm not alone. This week, when you have that thought cross your mind, say, when can we get together? Let's get our calendars out and make a plan. Do it. You won't regret it. God will be there with you and people will know that you care. The next is serve. I love how Sammy said a couple weeks ago, to serve people in the name of Jesus means to do small things with great love. It doesn't need to be complicated. You can do this, whatever it might mean. We're called to serve with proximity to the people that are close to us. We're called to serve with a sensitivity and a perception to what their needs are. So here again is some ideas. Keep it simple. Maybe you know that a neighbor and their family are getting back from a week-long vacation right around dinner time. Or maybe you know someone that's just getting back from a work trip that's getting back right around dinner time. To come home, especially with young kids, when you're hungry and there's nothing on the table, you've been gone for a long time, that's the worst moment possible because you know that it's going to be chaotic. You know that it's going to make a big mess. What if you knew that? Got on Domino's.com. I don't know why I'm talking about pizza so much this morning, but you got on Domino's.com, entered in their address, paid for their pizza, sent it to them without telling them. Can you imagine the moment when they open up the doors at that exact time and they see the Domino's guy? Who sent this? I need to know. Who is this person who would do something so crazy and fun and cool? Keep it really simple. It's as simple as that. Also, too, I think as followers of Jesus, for people who are close to us, we're given opportunities, especially when life gets hard. When tragedy strikes someone, when tragedy strikes a family, may we never say, if you need anything, call me. Because they never will. They never will call us when they're in hurt. Just go and bless. Go and bless. Do something simple. Leave a meal. Don't be too intrusive, but a card and a meal. Maybe pick up their lawn, mow their lawn, or do something. If you go and you bless, there's almost 100% chance that they will not be offended. If you're too much, as long as you don't do something that's weird, they won't be they won't be offended by it. They'll be blessed because they know that you care. So when hard stuff strikes, guys, go and bless. Don't wait for them to ask you. Do small things with great love. Then last, share your story. You know, our culture is every day getting more difficult to share our faith in Jesus Christ and to put words to it. But the reason why it says share your story is because in our culture, no one can argue with your personal experience because it's yours. But what we know to be true is that our stories are not just any longer our stories. Our stories are God's story through us. And there's a God-sized nature to our stories that people should hear. So my question is this, have you put your story on paper? Josh Miller last week gave us a great structure. What was your life like before Jesus? What was your life like as you met Jesus? And what was your life like after and how have you changed? And that simple grid can help you to prepare what your story is like. When I work with our faith story guests here at Westwood, I have yet to have someone not say, I am able to share my faith story with people who don't know Christ in a way better way than I was before I put it down on paper. So maybe for some of us in the room, in the next 24 hours, God's calling for you is to put your story down on paper. It's not going to be perfect. You're not going to be satisfied with your first draft, but just do it. There's going to be nerves involved when we share. But the compelling nature of why we need to share this story goes above our nerves and our fear. And we really ought share the greatest news in the world. You know, I had this really interesting experience a few years ago. I was in student ministry, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my social media feeds just blew up with a story. And I got text messages from students because Chipotle on Halloween offered free burritos to anyone who had tinfoil on their body. You mean I just need to get some Reynolds wrap and walk in the door? They've wised up since then. They don't do that anymore. Can you imagine the loss that they had that day? But people everywhere were saying, Brian, you got to hear the news. Put tinfoil on and go to Chipotle to get a free burrito. And it was good news. It was really good news. But I thought about it then, and I still think about it now. You know what? If I can tell my friends about Chipotle, I can tell my friends about Jesus, and I need to. I really need to. So, 24 hours from right now, it'll be noon on Monday. Perhaps you'll be in your home. Perhaps you'll be in your workplace. Maybe you'll be somewhere else. How will things have changed for you? I can guarantee you that out there, as you walk out these doors, trusting in God, He has an invitation for you. Every single one of us can begin with prayer. Maybe for some of you, you'll be given an opportunity to listen. Maybe for some of you, you'll eat even this evening. Maybe for some of you, you'll serve. Maybe for some of you, you'll even get to share your story. But there's an invite out there waiting for you. When you get it, step into it. Because, and this is the last question I want to ask with us this morning. If not you, then who? If not you, then who? In your life, if you don't go and if you don't bless, who will lose? God has sent us, every one of us, and we're invited to trust Him as He stands up with us, giving us everything that we need, cheering us on. I'm going to invite our band to come back up here, and we're going to sing together. The song that we're going to sing, you may not be super familiar with, but Ben's going to walk us through the words that are in the chorus so that we can sing them with one heart and one mind. As they come, I want to just bring us back to Genesis 12 again. You remember Abraham and the call that God gave him? He said, go from your country, just go. And I'm going to bless you so that you can bless people and all nations will be blessed through you. In Genesis 12, in the first part of verse 4, it said, so Abraham went as God told him. May it be said that the people of God at Westwood Community Church were blessed by God to be a blessing, and they went as God had told him. As we sing, let's make this our prayer. And as we sing, let's make this our declaration to God and to each other that we are going to hear God's call and go and bless. Let's stand and sing together.